Back together again, you and I chatting it up, brand new week style on Monday, May the 4th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. We talked about Democratic State Senate President Pro Tem Mark Looney of New Haven's decision to step away from the General Assembly after 46 years. Is it finally time for term limits? Will that ever happen? Trumbull GOP State Representative Dave Rutigliano dropped by to talk about the day's legislative business at the Capitol. Connecticut 169 Strong, CT 169 Strong's Maria Weingarten talked about a possible legislative change being considered to a controversial housing bill. It would literally be one word. While Fiona Farine from the nonprofit addiction awareness group Fort Cameron dropped by to talk about a big fundraising event coming up this Saturday.
All righty. Let's kick off the new week with a little game I like to play. If you or I were king or queen, now I'd probably be king. We have all these no kings marches, but I think I'd be able to squeeze something out here and wriggle in between the rules here. And confident of my gender presentation, I doubt I would be queen. But you never know. But as far as you folks out there are concerned, you tell me, king or queen. Now, what are we kinging or queening about this, about today, Paul? Well, I have always been one who has said, and I really believe this, in our daily discussions we have here and I've had over the years on stuff like this, I really believe that you can't fault somebody for taking advantage of the rules. You really can't. You can't fault somebody. You can't, I should say, you cannot fault someone, or you can try, I guess, but to me it's inconsistent. You can't fault somebody who says, hey, I didn't pay anybody off. I did nothing illegal. I'm here because the rules say I can be here, right? Whether it's politics, people talk about taxes all the time, yet everybody winces when I say on this show and others, well, you know, just change the tax code. But a story broke over the weekend where I think it was magnified even more and more and more that it's not the person, it's not the people, it's not people who do things, especially in politics, with all good intentions. It's the rules. And if somebody said, for example, now, I'm a little old now, I don't think I'll be around doing this when I'm over 100 years old, but you never know. Hey, long as I can flap my gums and get in and out of chairs, you never know. But if somebody said, hey, you can do this for another 46 years, and on some miracle, my health held out, I would be over 100 years old. Well, yeah, I'd say I'd think about wanting to do it. Sure. What am I talking about here? Number of stories about this over the state media over the weekend. This one here from Ken Dixon at Hearst. Longtime state Senate leader Martin Looney to step down from Connecticut's legislature after 46 years. Think how long 46 years is. And look, I've disagreed for years with Marty on a lot of his political positions. We are, I don't want to say we're at polar opposite ends of the spectrum, but we're pretty opposite each other. But I used to talk to Marty all the time, whether it was on news stories or having him on my talk show when I did a more New Haven-centric New Haven talk show. Well, now I'm not in New Haven, which is why I haven't, I don't think, had Marty on here in the years I've been here. In fact, in another week or so, it's going to be 7 years here. Thank you. It's never been anything personal with me and Marty Looney and anybody I criticize here. I could sit down and have a beer or a steak or a couple of shots with somebody and then hug them on the air or rip them to shreds. But I saw that figure. And again, this headline from Ken Dixon, longtime state Senate leader Martin Looney, to step down from Connecticut legislature after 46 years. And he's being lauded with his ability to come to bring sides together in his own caucus and even work with Republicans. Okay, I get it. I understand it. 46 years. 46 years. Is that in and of itself an illustration, or as the literary folks say, illustrative? Doesn't that illustrate what most of the freaking problem is here? And again, and I said what I said at the beginning of this monologue here to open up the show, saying, I don't blame Marty. I don't. A friend of mine's wife finally called it quits in the General Assembly after 38 or 40 years. So the bottom line is, if your name appears on the ballot and if voters are lazy enough not to even maybe research whether somebody from the same party, maybe a younger person, or somebody from the opposite party thinks they may be better, I mean, whose fault is that? It's not their fault. Now, the question begs, why don't we put a stop to it? And this is the problem. And again, I'm not saying, and I know people say, oh, Marty Looney, his name fits what he does. Well, I never said that. With Marty, it's never been personal between him and I, and if he were to recall talking to me, I'm sure he'd say that. That's not the issue. The issue is nobody should be in one political post for 46 years. Nobody, Democrat or Republican, progressive or liberal or conservative or populist or whatever, 46 years. Think about that. 46 years. That's two generations. That means somebody who was married at the beginning of Marty Looney's term could now be, who just got married 46 years ago, could now conceivably be a grandfather. Conceivably. You can have a kid, even if you're legal, you can have a kid at 18. That kid could have a kid at 18. And that kid could be 10 years old. Ooh, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. There you go. So use that measuring stick here. So I start with this, and I know I have asked this before, but I'm not going to drop this because it is mind-numbing to me that we can have lawmakers here, whether it's their choice, and if they're playing by the rules, I get it. But the fact that the process that we have here in Connecticut, other states, I know they have term-limited state lawmakers. We'll tell you about that coming up. But I know everybody, you know, cheers Martin Looney and said, well, he was good at what he does. All right. Should he have been there 46 years? Is that a symptom of what ails us? I mean, not just in Connecticut as a state, but think about individual cities, Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, small towns, big towns. Think about individual states. Think about the country. If we didn't have people in the Senate and the House for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, it's stupid. It's mind-numbing. Why do you say that, Paul, if people want them? People are lazy. People are lazy. And you're not going to tell me somebody after 46 years or 36 or 26 or 16 or maybe 6 is going to have any new thinking on any subject. They're just not. They're just not. They may modify their thinking a little bit, but it's part of human nature. Your comfort level revolves around what you think. So I start with this, and it's been up a while, our question of the day. And again, this is not even directly a position against Marty Looney, but I saw that figure and I said, 46 years, wow. Now, good on him, he got elected. I'm not besmirching him that. But what do you think is the maximum number of two-year terms for any state lawmaker in Hartford? What should that be? Remember, you run, whether you're in the state house or state senate, you run every 2 years. So that means Martin Looney ran and won 23 times. What do you think the maximum number for a state lawmaker in Hartford should be of two-year terms? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. When a sports team doesn't really happen in the NFL because the season's really short, although it, you know, it's getting more and more evident. But a pro basketball team, a hockey team, a baseball team, hey, the Mets today, blah, 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 the Yankees, whatever, they fired their manager, they fired their coach. And sometimes it happens not when a team is really sucking, but you hear something like, well, the feeling of the front office was, we need a new voice. Like, it's still a talented team, but we need a new voice. That's what I think doesn't happen enough in politics. And when I mean firing, I'm not meaning let somebody who's already elected be booted out of a chamber. No. But, you know, every 2 years, at least on the state level here in Connecticut, you know, people all around the state have a notion that they can return somebody to office, or they can, you know, vote and elect somebody else. But my point is, when there's not a limit put on that, the advantages of incumbency maybe are too much. And again, I'm not saying that anybody was forced to vote for somebody like Mitch McConnell in the Senate on the Republican side, or Strom Thurmond all those years, or Marty Looney now stepping down after 46 years, 23 terms. But is it really good for the process not to have term limits? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Because as much as these politicians on both sides say they're open to new ideas, I think sometimes that's a lot of crap. I just do. Why would you do something new when the decisions you made got you legitimately elected and reelected over and over and over, right? I don't get it. Let's kick it off today with, as I grab the right mouse here, Joe in Stratford. Hey, Joe, good afternoon. You're first up. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. What do you think of this? Term limits or what? What's the deal here? Should anybody serve 46 years?
No. So I myself, to age myself, is 40. And okay. not to take it out of the state level, but thinking about our congressman, I think a lot about Rosa DeLauro.
Yeah.
And just the fact of, at 80 years old, she is closer to no generation than me, than 100-year-olds.
It's just the math, man. It's just the math. You're right. Yeah.
And it's the worry I have is as a Democrat who is informed, I keep voting for her because if I lose her, then we lose that seat as the head of the House Ways and Means. And in those committees that are so powerful, I would love for her, and I know this doesn't exist, but like the amount of knowledge that these politicians have to have is a resource.
Sure.
Like I see people of my father's generation now who he's getting to 70 who can't retire from their work because there's no one to replace them because they don't know what to do.
Joe, I do have to move along, but thank you so much. Yeah, the Rosa thing is interesting. Joe, thank you. And I think the reason you have her in there, and Joe, I'm glad you brought her up, because I think, now don't quote me on this, Joe, I think Democrats still use seniority when giving out committee chairs. I think the Republicans got away from that. I think they did. I'm not sure. But, Joe, I like that line to open us up here. Yeah, it's further away from any generation, like a 100-year-old. Yeah. Listen, Rosa got into it the other day with Lee Zeldin and made for some good coverage. But Mr. Zeldin kind of cornered her when asking her about Supreme Court decisions, but be that as it is. Somebody else who I've known for years. I ran into her a few years ago in Worcester Square in New Haven. We said hi to each other from all the time she was on my show in New Haven. But 81. But again, if you're playing by the rules, why not still run? I don't know. Chris in Stamford is here. Chris, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
You know, in theory, I do agree with you about the term limits, but I'm a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit involved with Democratic Party.
Sure. Okay.
But you know, in theory, I really do agree with you about the term limits. But I will tell you is that it is difficult to find people to fill those positions. It is not the easiest thing to do. And quite frankly, I actually think and it takes a special person with special circumstances to be able to do it, because you know, they're only, you know, they're paid not a, a significant amount of money. It's, I mean, I think state reps only get about 40,000.
Yeah, they raised it too. And I was in favor of that. I was a loud voice saying, come on, you got to make this better. And people yelled at me. Yeah, Chris, they make about 44, 45 a year. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, yeah. And, you know, I mean, to travel up there every day from, you know, Greenwich, Stanford, where or other parts of the state is pretty tough.
And you got to have another job, too. You can't live on that. You're not living on a legislator's salary.
100%. And I would love to shrink the number of reps and then pay them more. You know, I think we could actually, you know, I think we actually have too many representatives.
You know, that's interesting. And Chris, thank you so much. Appreciate the call from a Democrat there. Chris, thank you. That's something I want to talk about, too. Chris, I'm glad you brought that up. We have 181 people making laws in this state. There are bigger states that don't have nearly that much. What do you think of Chris's idea, too? Do we, I mean, that'll never happen, but it's interesting. Are there, have they been there too long, A, and B, are there too many of them? A lot of bills in Hartford concerning guns, homeschooling, other stuff there that would directly affect you and I in some way. Still up for consideration, not a lot of time after the budget stuff over the weekend. And we welcome in a guy who's been on the program, been on the radio station here numerous times, Republican State Rep. Dave Rettigliano of the great town of Trumbull. Dave, how you doing, man? What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad. So what's shaking up there, Dave? We know the Senate's doing some stuff. You guys in the House are looking at some stuff. We're coming down to the wire here. What is the latest? Give us a little update here.
Whatever it is, I'm telling you, there's not a lot of good ideas.
Okay. So what are the paramount things you think the majority up there is going to try and get done in the last day and change?
So I think that we've done most of the controversial things already. We're passing certain agency bills now, certain outlier bills. We did pass SB 5 last week. That was my committee. That was the AI regulation bill.
Yep.
And we passed Senate Bill 4 today, which was the data protection for your online presence.
Okay.
You know, where you could delete your data.
Yeah.
And it had some protections in there for people's data. I thought it was a pretty good bill myself. So I did vote for that.
All right. So what is do you hear now? I heard the Senate was taking up the homeschooling bill, which I guess did pass in your chamber in the House a few days ago. But that was interesting, Dave, because I saw some Democratic votes bouncing back and forth in your chamber on that bill.
We did, because, you know, you have to decide. Now, I didn't homeschool my kids, but you have to respect a parent's right to do it, right? So if somebody makes these decisions for themselves, or they think it's right for their family, who are we to stand in the way of them, you know, doing the right thing? I think the biggest bill, one of the bigger bills we might have left, is they're trying to make it. They have a bill that went through judiciary, and they're threatening to call it today or tomorrow, where if you've committed a murder or a crime and you're under the age of 26, you get the automatic reconsideration for parole, saying that your brain wasn't fully developed and you deserve a chance to get out of prison. It's outrageous. It's an outrageous bill. It's going to be controversial. It's going to go for an awful long time. So I hear that one's coming.
Yeah. So, Dave, I've always wondered, and I ask this kind of, you know, rhetorically here. Well, all right, if the human brain, Dave, is not, you know, advance enough till it's 25 for this stuff. And Lord knows I did some dumb stuff under that. Okay, then. So I have an idea, Dave. Somebody get somebody to offer an amendment that then we can't draft anybody under 25, or you can't get married under 25.
You can't get married. You can't vote.
Vote.
Or how about, this is the one thing we've been saying forever.
Yeah.
How about if you're not smart enough to know not to murder somebody at 22, then what are you doing buying weed?
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's, Dave, that's a perfect angle there. So, and I know I know there's always this under 25 thing, under 25. Dave, I don't know about you, but I'll go out on a limb that you learned the same thing I did as a young kid. Yeah, you get in fights, you punch each other, you get in a brawl on the ground. Yeah. You don't kill somebody. You don't kill somebody.
I think we all know right and wrong from a much earlier age than 26. So there are some things that should not be forgiven. Justice did play out. They went through the system. They were represented. They were convicted by a jury of their peers. Mm-hmm. They should serve their sentence. They don't get to come back later and say, oh, you know, I was under 26. My brain wasn't fully developed. And it seems a bit of a cop-out. I don't know, understand what we're doing.
Yeah, so, Dave.
But it did make it through judiciary.
Okay.
It had support from the chairman of the committee. We'll see how it goes.
David Tigliano, the guest of State Rep Trumbull. Dave, your thoughts on the budget that was passed over the weekend? And it looks like a lot of people are okay with it, especially in the increased aid to cities and towns. What are your thoughts about the process and what you guys and gals came up with?
So, you know, it's hard as a Republican when there's no tax increases and your town's getting a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to vote no. So this, although this budget doesn't fix things it should have fixed,
yeah.
We don't solve long-term debt. We didn't take care of the public benefits charge, what makes your electric bill so expensive. It did send more money to towns,
yeah.
And it does not have a tax increase. So, you know, hold your nose, vote yes. And then pray to God we get some more numbers next year and we could really fix the problem.
Yeah, Dave, and that's one thing. And finally here, I talk about, and listen, I know you guys and gals up there on both sides of the aisle, you don't have a lot of time, especially in this in the off year here, in the election year, in the even years, you have the longer time in the odd years. But we have so many problems here, Dave, in the state that I wish we could just get out in front of. And you guys and gals have to battle with education funding and taxes and electric rates. It just seems like the hamster wheel, Dave, is just going there. And it must be tough just to keep up with these things every term you're up there.
Well, I appreciate that. But most of these problems we have were caused by our government. Connecticut caused the crisis in electric rates. Mm-hmm. Connecticut caused the underfunding of education in every city and town. You know, we spent years raising taxes to a point where it's oppressive.
Yeah.
Our gas tax is the highest. Our electric bills are the highest. We, you know, our minimum wage is the highest. We have made Connecticut unaffordable through the actions of the government. So it's kind of tough to unwind some of these things. State employees under Ned Lamont are looking this year 66% increase in salary since he became governor. Now, listen, I don't begrudge anybody making more money.
No, me neither.
But at some point, you have to inject a little common sense into the process.
Yeah, one would hope. Trumbull, Republican State Rep Dave Ritigliano. Dave, for the last few days, be good. Keep your head low, and we'll chat down the road. All right, sir?
I appreciate it anytime, Paul.
All right, thanks. There you go. Well, last week, the folks at CT 169 Strong, who are keeping an eye on what the General Assembly does with housing legislation in the state, they sent out a warning here that, and I was fascinated to read this. There is, and I don't know whether this has happened already or not, but we told you about this, just one or two word change here. That would have, if it passed again, I don't know, changed an aspect of allowable residential housing to be almost automatically rubber stamped in some commercial zones. Well, joining us right now is one of the driving forces behind CT 169 Strong. Maria Weingarten is here. Maybe she has an answer for me. Hey, let's find out. Maria, hi, it's Paul again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So what's the latest with housing and what we're hearing up at the Capitol and these proposed tweaks and changes? Update us. What's going on here?
Sure. So the bill number of concern is HB 5362.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a draft version of the bill that had been posted. And the councils of government, the regional government associations, and even CCM, even COST, other organizations had expressed concern because if we all recall, the governor vetoed a bill last year, and one of the main reasons he vetoed it was because the concern was that you couldn't keep mixed use in your downtowns. And so this is a one-size-fits-all policy, so maybe you just have a one street, one, you know, mm-hmm. main area of your downtown. And now, as the bill reads, a developer will decide, because they changed the words or a mixed use to and
yeah.
mixed use. So a town now has to allow either residential up to 9 units as of right summary building, summary development, or and so it was or before, now it's and. So it's either if they want to, they can build it with mixed use, or they can just decide to build it residential. So if you're a community that's concerned about, you know, increasing traffic or, you know, the fact that people are now going to have to drive to get services or whatever that they want that they may have just gone to their downtown to get,
mm-hmm.
you know, this goes in the opposite direction. And it doesn't let a town decide for itself what makes sense.
So do we know yet, Maria, if this revision, if this extra line or word has anybody told you whether this has been acted on or not?
It has been acted on in the House. It passed in the House.
Okay.
And it couldn't get called in the Senate anytime. And so if the Senate passes it, then the only thing potentially that can happen is that the entire bill, which does have some good aspects in it as well, the mm-hmm. entire bill would need to be vetoed, because I don't think that the governor has line item veto if it's outside of a budget bill.
Do you know your folks at CT 169 Strong? And I mean, I would think, Maria, in an election year, the governor's been briefed on this. I would think, I would hope, my fingers are crossed, I would think.
It's hard to know.
Yeah.
It's hard to know because a lot of even the legislative staff mm-hmm. seems they really were not reading into, because it's literally changing in line 221.
Yeah.
They deleted or A and they changed it to and. And if you weren't paying attention, you would miss that, right? Because there's other things in there that were like more substantial looking changes. And it seems that people were not paying attention. And so this is just indicative of an environment up in Hartford right now where a bill has been put up, it's gone out of committee, and then all of a sudden, at the last minute when it's getting called, there's a strike-all amendment happening where they've eliminated all the language you've seen before, and they throw something at you that's brand new that none of the legislators have had a chance to read yet.
And the folks, Maria, the legislators, I would assume that you and your folks there have tried to contact and talk to about this. Have they gotten back to you? Did they catch that change? What have you heard either from them or their staff members or nothing?
Well, we've tried. We've mentioned it to a number of people, but it passed in the House. And all of the Republicans voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the Democrats, there was maybe, eight more moderate Democrats who voted against it. And the rest of the Democrats all went on a party line vote of, you know, the Lemmings went and voted with the bill, and there you go, you know. And it's this, and again, it talks about the fact that, you know, there was such controversy over this that the governor stepped in. He brought in CCM and COST and everybody in November. They had a special session and passed this bill in November. And now, a few months later, they're reneging. So that's, you know, to me, that's kind of liars and cheats. You know, you've now just gone back on what you've said you're going to fix. And you know, that you're going to, you know, that this was a compromise that was reached that you would allow mixed use to make sure that you can have a vitality to your downtowns, and now you're eliminating that opportunity, and you're going to let a developer decide.
Interesting. All right, Maria, thank you. Keep me updated on this. You have the number. Maria Weingarten from CT 169 Strong. Look them up online, and they will point out where this may be some funny business is going on this one line of a bill that could potentially, with one word change here, affect millions of dollars in property and zoning as well. Maria, as always, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks so much, Paul.
All right, appreciate it. So there you go, folks. You folks know I'm very supportive of this organization, the Organization for Cameron. They're an organization that wants to take the stigma away from people who battle drug addiction, and ultimately lose their lives in a sad sort of way. This happened to my next guest. Again, you've heard her on the program here previously. Fiona Farin, married to an old high school buddy of mine, Joe Farin, and they lost their stepson, Cameron, to the scourge of fentanyl that was mixed in with something else he thought he was using. So to keep his memory alive, they have started and been very active and gotten some legislators to listen for the group for Cameron. And they have something coming up that we want to talk to you about. If you're a runner, if you're an area runner, I can barely walk, but you runners take note of this coming up on the weekend. Hi, Fiona. It's Paul again. How are you, dear?
I'm fine, thank you, Paul. How are you?
I'm good.
Joe asked me to tell you that he also says hello.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, and hopefully Joe hasn't told you too much of the dumb things I did in high school. That, you know.
No, he hasn't.
Well, Joe will know. To ask Joe, Joe will know. I was known as one of the affectionately known, Fiona. I was one of the AV geeks. You know, I was one of the guys where if somebody needed a projector, remember the overhead projectors and the film strips? I was one of the guys that Joe and the other classmates would see rolling in and they go, oh, geez, it's him again. All right.
Well, see, it led you to the right place in life.
Yeah, speaking of life and death and things that sadly still happen, Fiona, before we get to the specific event I want to talk about, which a lot of runners should be made aware of and walkers, talk a little about the origins of Fort Cameron and how you've been faring lately.
Certainly. So Fort Cameron, we began in 2019 after my daughter and I began it in 2019 after we had lost son and her brother, Cameron, to fentanyl poisoning in 2018. And in 2018, he took a pill that he thought was an opioid. It was stamped as an opioid, and it was unadulterated fentanyl. And we were just starting. This was really sort of the beginning of the fentanyl crisis, mm-hmm. where there was no awareness of the danger. And we instantly realized we're actually a pretty private family, but yeah. We realized that we had like a moral duty to warn people, because if this had happened to Cameron, this was going to happen to others. Mm-hmm. And sadly it did. And sadly it still is. And so what we work to do is one, to confront the stigma, because there are so many misconceptions around addiction, all forms of addiction, and specifically the fentanyl crisis. So a lot of people look at it as a choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a bad choice. It's an unfortunate choice. And, you know, somebody, it could be a choice the first time, Paul, mm-hmm. but then if that turns out to be fentanyl that they didn't know they were getting, sure. There is no choice, right? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
I always say to people, if somebody poisoned liquor, we'd be having a very different conversation,
yeah.
and a lot more attention to it,
yeah.
because that's more socially acceptable. So that's where we are. So we just work consistently to try to raise attention and awareness, really to educate young people, Paul, because it's, you know, the governor's office has told us in recent months,
yeah.
look, it's getting better. Less people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that that's true, Paul. I'm
okay.
thrilled less people are dying. A lot of hard work has gone into that. But to me, the risk and danger remains the same, and we're still not educating people enough. So I respectfully sort of disagree with the statement that it's getting better and think that we need to be very we need to be
sure.
on this still.
Sure, sure. And getting better is one thing, but as they say, Fiona, even if it's down to single digits or one or two, that's
right.
still one or two too many. So let's talk about a fundraiser you have here, an event coming up that is coming up at Hammonasset, 5K
yes,
run and walk. So give us a little info on that.
Absolutely. So we started the 5K, very novice to the idea, 2 years, this is our third, so 3 years ago. And at the time we did that, it's because we had committed to giving the New Haven police Narcan, and we needed to fund a way to get them the Narcan and mm-hmm. the pouches for the whole police force.
Mm-hmm.
So we did our first 5K, and it was such a success. So what we do here, Paul, it's a little bit different than when we go into the schools.
Yeah.
What we try to do that day is make a statement about we are all here together to confront stigma, and anybody is welcome. So we get people who may have lost somebody, or we get people who are in recovery, because, you know, recovery is possible. You know, that's the other side of this. And or we get people who maybe are not in recovery yet, but they're thinking about it. And all those things are good because people feel supported there. And then we do the 5K. And our hope this year is that with whatever we raise, we would like to create a scholarship to a recovery center for somebody. We do have a couple of recovery. We have folks from in different recovery centers that will be taking part in it. We're starting with a free kids run. That's completely free to any kid that wants to get in and do that sort of kid dash. Okay. And that's at 9. We're going to register. We'll be start registering people at 8:30. Kids dash is at 9, and then the adult 5K, and that's, by the way, is a mix of run and walkers. That starts at 10, and it goes out along, you know, Hammonasset's gorgeous,
sure,
and it's a completely flat path the whole way. So that's what we're doing. So we actually really look forward to it. This is a very positive event, despite the sad reason that we go out there to do it.
So, again, the event schedule, the free kids fun run, the dash at 9 a.m., and then 10 a.m., the 5K adult run and walk. And, Fiona, how can they register for this, and where can they get more info?
Absolutely. So, first of all, they can go to any of our social media, and it's all over there, and they can register online before. We actually have a special rate for anybody who wants to do it as a team, and that could be a team of three friends. Three or more is $10 a person.
Okay.
And then if they prefer to wait, we will get there early Saturday morning, and at 8:30 we'll start registering same day people who wish to take part.
Okay. Once again, folks, online, you can go to 4Cameron, go to any of these social media channels, and please register and take part here. It's for a great cause. 9 a.m., the free kids fun run walk that's coming up this Saturday, and at 10 a.m. the 5K run and walk. Fiona, thanks so much. Fiona Farine from 4Cameron. Fiona, give Joe my regards, and you folks are doing the Lord's work, as they say, so keep on keeping on, and anything you need from me, you just give me a call, okay?
Thank you so much, Paul. You're such a good friend to us, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks, Fiona. Thanks. Take care. Fiona Farine, the group is 4Cameron. It is a 5K. You runners out there, you may not know this. So if you're in Fairfield County, drive up to beautiful Hammonasset Beach State Park in Madison this Saturday, May 9th. The free kids fun run starts at 9. The registration for the adult event starts at 8:30. And then at 10 a.m., it's the 5K run and walk. You can find the registration information on social media. That is 4Cameron, 4Cameron.